Hi, girls. Boker Tov, Bevakashala Sheves. Everyone, take out your pen and pencil, and we're going to start recording. I wanted to go over yesterday's lesson, but first we're going to start. We said that Rav Chaim Kanievsky said something that is worthwhile to work on now is our Shmiras HaLashon, and also to be Mevater. So yesterday we started with a lesson from Positive Word Power. So we're going to start with that first, and then we are going to go from there. So just to recap, yesterday we were saying how every breath that comes out of our mouth is a breath of Hashem and has so much value. Today we are going to talk about what makes it good. So it says, Yaffa arrived at her seminary classmate's wedding. The hall, the most elegant one in town, looked like a ballroom of a royal palace. Music was provided by a well-known singer and a six-piece, highly professional band. The food was bountiful, all cooked and presented with gourmet perfection. But Yaffa found the evening difficult and depressing. Having come late, she had to take a seat at a table of girls from the Kala's high school class. Yaffa didn't know any of them, and they were so excited to catch up with each other that they barely gave Yaffa a second glance. She left the wedding early, feeling like a social misfit. The next night, Yaffa went with a group of girls to help a different friend move into a new apartment. The night was spent in hard labor, lifting boxes, unpacking, stacking dishes in the cabinets, cleaning out the fridge, and other such chores. The girls took a break to eat some lukewarm pizza served atop a cardboard carton, a far cry from the previous night's feast. But to Yaffa, the evening was perfect. Surrounded by the warmth of her friends, immersed in conversation and laughter, she wished the night didn't have to end. How could a night of hard work moving into an apartment be much more enjoyable than spending a night at a pampered wedding as a guest? The answer is, nothing makes a person's heart and soul as happy as a feeling of being connected. And that's something that now it's a little hard for all of us since we're all in different places. And we all need to have our people who know us well, who we are, what matters to us, what challenges we face, what makes us happy, what we need, and what we have to give. We need people with whom we feel comfortable being ourselves, for they value us for ourselves. And says, if there was a formula for human happiness, by far the main ingredient would be positive relationships. Nothing is a stronger indicator of a person's happiness than the quality of her friendships and family relationships. In other words, a person with good relationships usually feels she has a good life, even if she faces many challenges. When we connect in a positive, loving way with each other, we feel happy and alive. Since Hashem gives us all our needs, it would make sense that He provided us with a way to fulfill this most essential need, and He has. The tool for building and maintaining these relationships, filling us with a sense of happiness and energy that we all crave, is the tool of Torah, with specific laws of Shmiras HaLashon and Onas Dvarim, because words are so powerful. Hashem has given us instructions on how to use them with care. So something we should just go over in short is that being in positive relationships is what makes us happy, and the Torah guides us how to have these positive relationships by giving us the guidelines of Shmiras HaLashon and Ona'as Dvarim. So we can try to just focus on how we're talking to our siblings and how we're talking to our parents and make sure that we're interacting in a way that makes us feel good and makes others feel good around us. A few things. This is only going to be a 20-minute class, Emet Hashem, and I'm going to start off by telling a little story that I came across. There was a Russian bazaar, like a market, and a horse kicked a man and stomped on him, and he was very seriously wounded. Somebody that was passing by ran to help him, and one person came over and said, "Are your arms broken?" Another one said, "Are your legs broken?" And then the doctor arrived, and he said, "Everyone, move away. The patient is in such a dire situation. Don't ask him if his feet hurt or his hands hurt. Check if his heart is pumping. And after you see that his heart is pumping, then you can check the rest of his body. Because if chas v'shalom he's in cardiac arrest, then his feet and his hands are of no use." So the Chafetz Chaim uses this tale when he once visited a small shtetl, which he had traveled to sell his svarim. The townspeople asked him if he could come and talk to them about the topic of Shmiras Shabbos, because Shabbos was growing lax over there. He asked them how their Torah study was, and they told him that learning Torah was also weak there. So when he got up to speak, he told them, "Just like the doctor told the people in the Russian marketplace that, you know, the heart is the most important thing. Limud HaTorah is the heart of Klal Yisrael. If there's no Limud Torah, there's no heart, and then Shabbos is not Shabbos. So first we need to strengthen ourselves in learning Torah, and after we accomplish this, then we can work on keeping Shabbos and the other mitzvot. So, you know, we all try to live a life of Kiddush Hashem, and really learning Torah is, and putting into practice what we learn is the best thing to keep us strong. So thank you, girls, all for calling in. And now, for our lesson. So we were talking about last class about why is Rosh Chodesh Nisan the Rosh Chodashim? Why is it the head of all the months? So we talked about how, and this is the first mitzvah that was given to them, what's so important about Rosh Chodesh that it's the head and the first and the, and, you know, it's versus Tishrei, right? Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So we talked about that, we just talked about how the heart, we need the heart to pump, but what sends the messages to the heart to pump? We know that with the brain, we said a brain is not replaceable. It's not something that anyone could have someone else's brain because they wouldn't be the same person. It's not possible to do that because the head is the significance of the whole body. That's where everything gets its life from. And we talked about how Pesach has the significance of all the Yam and Tovim, and therefore, when somebody is over on eating chametz on Pesach, it has the strictest punishment. So then we started building up this idea that Mitzrayim was terrible for Klal Yisrael physically and spiritually and in Ruchnius. Bnei Yisrael were completely engulfed in the suffering, in the oppression, in the hard work, in the living in like cramped quarters with so many people, and so they were so weak physically and spiritually because, you know, they were engulfed for so many years that they lost their view of Hashem because they were so weak and tired from being there for such a long time. And we talked about when somebody has this distance between themselves and Hashem, it's harder, they put themselves in a place where it's harder to believe in Hashem because they don't see Hashem so clearly. And when you see Hashem clearly in your life, it obligates you more to serve Hashem. So they were in this very low state of shibud, right? We said they sunk to the Memtah Shari Tuma. They were all the way at the bottom. One more down and it would have been too late. So Hashem had to whip us out of Mitzrayim. And they needed like a quick fix, but it had to be a huge fix. So Hashem sent in Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that was the last sentence we wrote, was that Yetzias Mitzrayim was so drastic that it fixed the galus they were in from not believing to absolute emuna. So what was so great about Yetzias Mitzrayim? So we're going to talk about a few small aspects and how this works. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is really the foundation and the basis of our emuna. So you can take your pen and paper and continue in your notes. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the basis of our emuna. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the basis of our emuna. Each makkah proved a level of Hashem being the creator. Each makkah proved a level of Hashem being the creator, or that He, with a capital H, continues to run the Bria. So each makkah proved a level of Hashem being the creator, or that He continues to run the Bria. And we know that by Dam they were able to do Dam, Tzvardeya, they could do some Tzvardeya, Kinim already, they weren't able to because we said the Koach HaTumah doesn't have power over something smaller than a Seora, than a barley. So, and as they got further into the Makos, Hashem did such wondrous Nisim, even you have when Arov came, the wild animals, each animal came on its natural habitat. So you had a polar bear on ice, and you had each animal came, and it was in, you know, from such different climates and different regions, and they were each in their own habitat. Just the way Hashem made everything happen was something that no one had ever seen before. It was incredible and terrifying and awesome. Awesome, like amazing awesome. And they were really able to see, you know, Espa Elokim Hi, this is clearly the finger of Hashem. You know, it's amazing as we say this and you look around in the world and you say like Espa Elokim Hi, this is only Hashem's power in this world. Only Hashem can stop airplanes everywhere and Hashem can, you know, make countries shut down and really everything is so clearly Espa Elokim Hi. And so, you know, we see things going on in the world that last year we didn't even see, and Hashem is so clear. We're still in Adar, where we know Adur, Hashem is still dwelling amongst us, leading us into Nisan, which we know was and hopefully will, Met Hashem, be this Mangaula. We don't know when exactly, but Met Hashem Nisan. Hopefully Bakarov and Met Hashem. Okay, so now we continue. So we said each Makkah showed a level of Shem being the creator and that he continues to run the Bria. We see this Hashkacha practice, this individual Hashkacha. Now you could put in quotes, Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim, end quote. Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. And I'm going to ask you a question. If you're in your room, you could just answer it out loud. Where do we mention these things of Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim? We say Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim. So hopefully you're thinking of things like Kiddush, Shema, the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Why do we say Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim is everywhere. So Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim is everywhere. You can write down example, Kiddush, Shema, Yud Gimel Ikrim. So Kiddush, Shema, Yud Gimel Ikrim. Because it's so important. So Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim is everywhere. Kiddush, Shema, Yud Gimel Ikrim, because it's so important. It gives us our unique goal and role, R-O-L-E, and mission. It gives us our unique goal, role, and mission. Unique goal, role, and mission. This is who we are. We are a Yid. We're a member of Klal Yisrael, and we're going to continue. So now we know that we have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was where we saw Hashem so clearly, Hashem's power, Hashem's hashkacha. And a ma'amin, someone who believes, a ma'amin is someone who believes that Hashem is in control of every aspect of her life. A ma'amin is someone who believes that Hashem is in every aspect of our lives, and that our actions will affect our future. A ma'amin is someone who believes that Hashem is in every aspect of our lives, and that our actions will affect our future. Someone who really, really believes. And I'm sure I told the story in some of the classes, so I'm just going to recap it quickly. The story of Lulik, and he, from when he was a young child, he would climb and do cartwheels. And as he got older, he would walk across a tightrope. And as he got even older, when he was, you know, 10 years old, he would tie tightropes to the top of buildings, and he would charge people to watch him. And then he became very professional. And he went to, you know, onto bigger and better things. He hired a manager. He became very successful, and he became a tightrope walker. And one time he tied a rope from one end of a cliff to another side of a cliff, and he walked across it, and he was acting very scared. And then he walked across it with a scorpion behind him and holding a chicken. And then he said, I'm going to walk across it with, you know, backwards, holding a chair, and who believes in me? And there was the crowds would always scream, walk it, Lulik, walk it, Lulik. And Lulik looked very nervous. And he said, I don't know if I could really do it. And the crowd started screaming the chant of, walk it, Lulik, walk it, Lulik. And everybody was watching him, what's going to be. He said, do you really believe I can do this? And they said, yes, walk it, Lulik. And Lulik said, I don't know, I'm so nervous. And they're cheering. He said, I don't know, do you really believe? And everyone screams, yes. So he said, so who can sit on my chair? And all of a sudden it became quiet. And one little kid said, I'll go. And the father, you know, slapped him to be quiet. And he said, shh. Because they didn't really believe. So a ma'amin is someone who really believes that Hashem is in control of every aspect of her life. And our actions do affect our future. That we're responsible for our actions, and they're going to affect our future. So we're building up slowly to the end. We still don't have the answer of why is Nisan the Rosh. It's coming together. So now the next notes that we're going to write are the three places to know Hashem are. The three places to know Hashem are. The three places to know Hashem are, number one, your moach, you could write it in English, your mind. The three places to know Hashem are your mind. Number two, your lev, your heart. So one is a logical, the mind is your logical place. I know there's Hashem, I see there's Hashem. A lave in your heart, that I feel, I believe in my heart that there's Hashem. So I know and I feel. And the way to really see if you're a true mamon is if it will go over to your evarim, to your limbs. So you know it, it's logical. Lave, you feel it. And then evarim, if it goes to your limbs. Who do we know that everybody was faced, they were in a very, very tough spot. And they couldn't go in one direction. And they couldn't go in another direction. And they were frozen because they were terrified and they didn't know what to do. And one person who really, really believed was able to know it in his heart, know it in his mind and then heart, and then he was able to put it into action. So if you know, you can call out. So Nachshon ben Aminadav, we know when they came to Yam Suf and no one knew where to go, you know, the Mitzrayim were running behind them and the Yam was in front of them, and Nachshon was the first one to go in, and he went in up to his waist and then up to his neck, and when it got to the point where he couldn't go anymore, that's when the Kriyas Yam Suf happened. He really, really believed, and that's why he was able to jump in. The Emunah wasn't complete until that point because the other people weren't able to go in until they saw him. So, we said the three places to know Hashem. Those are the three places to know Hashem. Your Moach, your Lev, and your Evarim. And now, we are going to tie it all up. The three mitzvot of Pesach are, number one. So, the first mitzvah we know is, that we don't have nowadays, is the Karban Pesach. So, the three mitzvot of Pesach are, number one, the Karban Pesach. Number one, the Karban Pesach. And with all these mitzvot, we're going to see this level of emunah that builds our emunah. So you can write down, what was so incredible, what showed our emunah was shechting the Karban Pesach. So you can write down, we shechted their avodah zarah. Right, can you imagine you like destroy something that's so important to someone else? You're showing, I'm not scared of them. This is what Hashem said, and this is what I'm going to do. They shechted the Avodah Zarah, which showed they were totally dedicated to Hashem. Number two, what do we eat on Pesach? We eat matzah. Matzah is a very simple bread. It's a very simple food, right? It's flour and water. So there's two concepts with matzah where we see that this emunah. So you could write down that with just the basics, it also ties into now, right? We're all sitting at home. There aren't so many things to do. Hopefully we find that we have more time to daven, more time to clean for Pesach. And, you know, even though we're busy doing different things, there's more time to connect even with people. So one thing is, with just the basics, it's easier for a person to connect with Hashem. That's one. And the other answer of why matzah is a sign of our emunah, because in the Zohar it's known as Machla Dimhei Menusa. It's known, you don't have to know how to spell that for now, because I'm not writing on the board, but matzah is also known as Machla Dimhei Menusa, the bread of emunah. The bread of emunah. Because we know that that's how we rushed from Mitzrayim, we took the dough and we were running because we knew Hashem was going to save us and do nisim for us. So matzah is pashtus, it's simple, to show with the basics. It's easier for a person to connect with Hashem without all the distractions. And another reason why matzah is a connection, it's known as Machla Dimhei Menusa, the bread of emunah, because it showed how we rushed from Mitzrayim. And number three, which is so beautiful, what is the other thing that we know that is unique to Pesach that we eat? Very bitter. Excellent. Marar. So how does marar show our emunah? It reminds us of the bitter time we had in Mitzrayim. So marar, you could write down. Marar is emunah because Hashem took us out from the slavery and bitterness. Hashem took us out from the slavery and bitterness. Hashem took us out from the slavery and bitterness to show. It's not to remind us of the bitter time that we had in Mitzrayim. It's to remind us that Hashem took us out from that bitter state of Mitzrayim, of being so low and so oppressed and so down. And He took us out to show that He loves us no matter what state we're in. It's unconditional love. When we eat the marah and our eyes tear and we're, I don't know how much you eat of it, but then you might, you know, start choking on it or whatever. If you eat romaine lettuce, it's not as bad, but you feel that bitterness. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim when we were in that state because Hashem loves us no matter how we are. So Hashem took us out from the slavery and bitterness of Mitzrayim to show us that He loves us no matter what state we're in. It's unconditional love. And that is the beauty of Pesach, that Hashem committed to love us no matter what we do. And that is the beauty of Pesach, that Hashem committed to love us no matter what we do. One more time. And that is the beauty of Pesach, that Hashem committed to love us no matter what we do. And you could just write down this quote, this pasuk, Banim Atem LaHashem. Banim Atem LaHashem. I'm going to zip through one more time so we recap the whole thing. It says in Parshas Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim. Why is Nisan the Rosh? You could just go to the beginning of your notes, make sure you have the main points. And you could use this as one of your Divrei Torah also, at one of your meals on Yantif, that the head is not only the top, but it's the center of operation. Everything gets its life from Pesach. Why is Pesach so significant? Mitzrayim was terrible for us physically and in Ruchnias. We were completely at the bottom, engulfed by this shibud and by this oppression and this suffering. There was no other life. We were slaves. A slave has no bechira. A slave can't do whatever they want. They are subject to whatever is given over to them. And then we talked about that in order for, and I'm happy I was able to do this, girls, at least I could talk to you so we could talk it out and explain it properly, that in order for somebody to not act properly, they have to first feel a distance from Hashem, because if we recognize Hashem in our lives and we see how much Hashem loves us, then we will be more obligated to serve Hashem because we're going to recognize how Hashem loves us and He does so much for us. And of course, when you see how much someone loves you, you want to kesher with them. So we needed to build this kesher with Hashem, but from where we were holding, it seemed impossible. Yetzias Mitzrayim was so drastic that it fixed the galus we were in from not believing to absolute emunah. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the basis of our emunah because each makkah proved the level of Hashem being the creator or that He continues to run the bria. This was Hashem's hashgacha. And that's why we have zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush and in Shema and in the Yod Gimel Ikrim, because remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim is so important. It gives us our goal, our role, our mission, who we are. We believe in Hashem. Anachnu maminim b'nei maminim. I'm not going to sing it. You could sing it if you want. And we talked about a mammon is someone is in control of who recognizes that Hashem is in control of every aspect of her life, and that we are responsible for our actions because there's somebody in control who's keeping track of us. And that's why when we do our actions, we should realize that there are three places where we show that we know Hashem: in our minds, in our hearts, and in our actions. And we see this with Nachshon ben Aminadav, that he believed in Hashem, and that's why he was able to jump into the water. It wasn't just in his mind, it wasn't just in his heart, but it was also in his actions. And he jumped in, and then everyone followed, and then the Nisan started, the big Nisan that of Kriyas Yamsuf. And that we ended off, so why is Nisan the Rosh? We said because this is a foundation of our emunah and who we are. And Nisan is the Rosh because it shows us, and this ties into Pesach. The three mitzvot of Pesach are Karban Pesach, to show we shechted the Karban Pesach, to show we're totally dedicated to Hashem. We eat the Masa, which is a bread of Emunah, and we also eat it to show how we rush from Mitzrayim because we love Hashem, and the Maror, that Hashem took us out from the slavery and the bitterness of Mitzrayim. That's the Maror, to show that He loves us no matter what state we're in. And that is what is so important about Nisan being the Rosh, because that is where we see that Hashem loves us no matter what we do. We're Hashem's children. And when we recognize that this is the kesher with Hashem, that we're really Hashem's children and He loves us, then we can develop the most important relationship in our lives, which is a relationship with Hashem. I give you girls all a bracha that throughout this whole long parsha that we don't know how long it's going to last for, you should see Hashem and you should feel Hashem's love in every single part of it. And we should come to Pesach feeling like we really gained and we really grew and we are able to recognize Hashem in our lives and be real maminim, that it should come through our moach, our minds, and our hearts, and also our actions. Next year, Emes Hashem, will be on Monday. It's going to be a brief overview of Hilchos Pesach. It will probably be based around flashcards, which you did not yet get. You will not be getting Pesach flashcards this year, unless we come back the 3 days before Pesach, but it doesn't look too promising. So it's going to be going over Hilchos Pesach, just some details about Pesach to know. And just a few things is we said that this week is Shabbos Mevarchim, Emet Hashem. You get plus one if you don't go to shul for Shabbos Mevarchim. And we know that there's a minhag in the beginning of Nisan to give Kimcha de Pischa or Maus Chitin, which is money for the poor people for Pesach expenses. And we should recognize that we shouldn't take for granted Parnasa, especially so many people are affected by this coronavirus with Parnasa, that people don't have an income. And it's, you know, this scary times, the markets are crashing, and, you know, we shouldn't take for granted, we should appreciate, and this is something that was instituted many, many years ago, that to provide for Pesach. Pesach is, you know, everyone, Baruch Hashem, is making Pesach this year, it looks like, at home, and everyone should just enjoy it and have a beautiful yantiv. Another thing is coming up from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Some have a minhag not to eat matzah from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. One reason is so that it should be special when you come to the Seder. A katan, like a small child who doesn't understand the sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim, doesn't understand the story of Mitzrayim, they could eat matzah even on Erev Pesach. That's not a, you know, because they don't understand what it is, so that wouldn't be a problem. And we'll continue with more of the halachos Emet Hashem next week. If you have any questions about this year, please feel free to be in touch with me. I will just touch base tomorrow on the hotline to let the girls know that we're not going to be doing it that way. The school feels that it's easier for the students to, you know, tune in whenever they're available, so this way it doesn't cause stress on the phone line with different siblings, etc. And this week, listen at any time. But please feel free to call with any questions. If you don't understand something, a concept or anything, please call any time. I'm going to give you my number. It's 410-585-1888. My cell phone is 443-255-5637. And you can also email at It's a Cookie Cutter World, ITSA, Cookie, COOKIECUTTER World, WORLD, It's a Cookie Cutter World, @gmail.com. The best way to get in touch with me is by phone, and best if you don't leave a message and you just try calling again. And I hope you all enjoyed, and you should have hatzlacha and bracha and good health, and we will be in touch, Emet Hashem. Take care. Bye-bye.